Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
And welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Vivo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and thrilled to welcome back to the podcast, for the first time in a while, the great and talented, funny and amazing Mike Silver of the San Francisco Chronicle. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Well, with an intro like that, it's a shame that it's been so long. And as you know, Tracy, these last few months when you've been observing me, I've been high stress, totally harried, and doing too many things, and finally I can focus on the important things, this podcast.
Well, 100%. I'm so glad that you're now making it a priority.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
No, it was, we had a big season. We had a busy season. It's covering a team in the Super Bowl is great professionally. There's a lot of benefits to it, but it's a lot. And your season goes long. And then you and I were just at the combine last week, just a mere 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. So no rest for the weary. Next up, free agency. So much to discuss with the San Francisco 49ers. Something I want to kind of bring up at the beginning of this, and I know you probably feel similar. Well, I don't know that you feel similarly. I think that you feel similarly, but you can tell me if I'm wrong. It's a team that, yes, just lost in the Super Bowl, but by 3 points in overtime to Patrick Mahomes. So it's not as if they're heading into free agency in the draft being like, oh my God, there are so many needs. What are they going to do? There's a lot to unpack here, but I want to start actually with the defensive coordinator hire, the hire of Brandon Staley as an assistant head coach, Nick Sorensen, the DC. What are your thoughts? It kind of all made sense to me, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, there's a lot to unpack. And, not only were we covering a team that made it all the way to the Super Bowl, and yes, that extra week that used to be between the Super Bowl and the combine would have come in handy, but I was misguided enough to do a book that had a deadline that coalesced with all of that. That's coming out next fall, and it's about the Shanahan, McVay, McDaniel, LaFleur, Raheem Morris coaching crew. So obviously a lot of fodder for that, but it kind of ties back into what we're talking about. And that's Kyle Shanahan, who has come so close yet again, arguably the closest, given that it went to overtime, at least as a head coach, that he's been to getting his hands on that Lombardi. And, you know, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it the logical way, which I think you framed beautifully, which is, look, They lost by 3 points in overtime to Patrick Mahomes. They play in the conference that is on paper more attainable in the next few years, mm-hmm. if you just look at the quarterbacks and who's coming back. And they've obviously been the second most accomplished team in the league during these last five seasons, and have a chance to have virtually all of the important people, if not all of them, back. So on paper, you go, sure, they're well positioned to get off the mat and do this again. It's just the emotion and the psychology and the fact that nothing ever stays the same in the NFL, and people get older and they've played a lot of football. You know, that's kind of got my head spinning. And I just, to me, and I know you will appreciate this, 4 years ago, I remember being in that locker room in Miami when they lost, and George Kittle was like, we're going on a revenge tour 2020. I remember DeForest Buckner, of all people, saying, we'll be back. Little did he know he'd be traded.
He would not be back.
Yeah, he would not be back. So they were almost defiant in the wake of that loss to the Chiefs in Super Bowl 54, but certainly a team that felt, we are going to come right back and make a run at this. This year felt different. It just felt
different.
Yeah, like, I mean, guys we know well who are great talkers just could barely bring themselves to speak. They were just so gutted. And it was a little bit better when we got them a couple of days later in Santa Clara for locker room cleanout. But I just, you know, it's so hard to get back and do it again. And they did it. Obviously, 2020 was a disaster, but 2021, after a terrible first half of the season, they made that run and came so close to getting back to the Super Bowl. The next year, with Brock Purdy coming in dramatically and the season having been turned around, they did it again. They won 12 in a row, and then they had the disaster in Philly with the quarterback injuries. And then they did it again. And as you said, you got to stay healthy. They mostly stayed healthy and got there and played better than they had in the previous two playoff games and had a real shot. And, you know, I hope for their sake they can summon that energy one more time, because it's easy to talk about it, but it's so hard to do it, let alone to have everything go right.
100%. And this one, it was different in the locker room. And this one was, I think, it was worse because they were so close. The thing, the X factor here, and of course, he doesn't play in their conference, but when you look ahead and you look at a team at the caliber of the 49ers, and this is true of other high caliber teams in the NFL, you have someone in Patrick Mahomes who really is, and I think it was Nick Bosa who said it, he's the best on the planet right now at his position. Maybe we'll forever be the best on the planet at his position. We don't have to get into that conversation today, but maybe we'll forever be. And you almost, not even almost, you have to play a perfect game against this man to win. And even then, you may not be able to do it. And I don't think the 49ers can go into next season necessarily thinking that way. I don't think any team can necessarily go next season thinking that way. But I look at teams like the Ravens and the Bills and the Bengals and the Niners. And in theory, if the Eagles get it together and can get themselves back, and maybe a team like the Rams gets back, like, you look at some of these high caliber teams, and is it somewhat defeating to look at Patrick Mahomes and say, and the 49ers did not play a perfect game. There were a lot of things that went wrong in that game, things that maybe they could have overcome. To me, the ball game, and I've talked about this on the pod before, was when the fumbled punt, that was it. Like, I turned to a colleague of ours sitting next to me and I said, that's the ball game. And I know they went to overtime, but to me, that was it.
Changed the whole vibe in the stadium. They scored the next play. It was totally different. Yeah.
It's a totally different thing. But is it somewhat defeating to say, because you look at this 49ers team and they did play better in both those playoff games. And like, you had someone like Chase Young, who really hadn't done much since they traded for him, and all of a sudden in the Super Bowl is the guy that they were hoping he'd be all season. Yeah. And you saw that from a lot of people, and it still wasn't enough. And is that, like, not to be depressing, sorry guys, but is that now so defeating when you are a team trying to get back? And again, not just them, but these other teams in the league.
Well, it's a trap, right? You can think of it and go, this was their down year. He didn't really have any receivers. You know, Rashee Rice was a nice rookie, but they're going to go get receivers. Like, watch. Yeah. They'll do something next week. They'll do something in the draft. Mm-hmm. I guarantee Patrick was like, all right, I got you guys that one. But now, you know, let's go get some dudes. And so, yeah, you can think that way. But look, I think you have to look at it this way. If you're the Niners, yes, you're either getting better or getting worse. And you got to make some hard decisions about whether your core players are still getting better or staying where they are. But look, the NFC on paper is attainable. And if you can win the NFC, which is a huge if, as we saw even this year with the playoffs, you know, you just have to play one good game.
I forgot about the Lions. I totally forgot about the Lions.
Yeah, it might. So your one good game, it might be against Patrick Mahomes at a better Chiefs team. It certainly looks like it could, but it might not. You know, Joe Burrow beat him a couple years earlier. You know, I think if the 40, if, you know, if, I don't even want to say his name because it's so mean at this point, but if a certain safety who otherwise acquitted himself so well as a 49er had intercepted that pass and the 49ers had won the 2021 NFC Championship game, they were playing the Joe Burrow Bengals. Yeah. I think they have a decent chance, you know, of winning that trophy, whereas, you know, the 49ers have gotten Mahomes twice. So look, I think you just, you try to win your conference and then you hope that you have one great game in you. And, you know, look, Dre Greenlaw was playing so well in this game, right? as he can. And that's a fluke injury. You know, the punt was brutal. You know, I need to go rewatch this game. It's on my list, like, because I've only seen it live with binoculars. But, you know, that the, it's bad luck, I guess, to have it hit Luter's foot. Maybe you could yell at him. McLeod kind of made the strategic decision, very bang-bang decision, but I can scoop and go. In retrospect, you probably try to dive on that. Doesn't mean you get it, but that's probably the play. You know, you let an extra point get blocked. Probably the way things are going, the Chiefs would have had a chance to still tie it or whatever, but that's regrettable. And then, of course, each team fumbled in the red zone. And, you know, and that's just part of the game. They did intercept Mahomes. So, you know, don't lose sight of the fact, 49er fans, that they had two match points, in my opinion. After the 2-minute warning and regulation, it's 3rd and 5. For all the times I made fun of Kyle in the Packer game and during the season with his obsession with the 2-for-1 and how many times he's gone slow, painfully slow before halftime, he was going slow at the end of that game and it was working. And if you convert that 3rd and 5, you bleed it out. The Chiefs had 2 timeouts. I think you either kicked that field goal at the buzzer or close to it, and you probably win the Super Bowl. And then, of course, 4th and 1 or less than 1 in overtime. If you stop them, you're Super Bowl champs. Unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes could kind of just be like, I'm going to flow to my right. I'll see if someone's open. You know what? I'll just run for 8 yards. So, and then I think they had a 2nd and 13 after that. So, so that's the good news. The hard news for me is you have the, you know, the cap went up. You have Purdy on a rookie deal. You can keep the core together and you can maybe load up and try to get some more people, all of which you should. The question is, do you believe when you honestly look at the film, and they would know better than I, you know, is Eric Armstead still what he was? Is George Kittle? Is Debo Samuel? Is Kyle Juszczyk? Is Trent Williams? You know, my gut tells me in most cases, yes. But they have played a lot of football and people get old. And so, you know, like when Mike Evans was potentially out there, I'm thinking, if you're the Niners, would you rather have Mike Evans or either Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel? I think it's a conversation. He's gone now. Probably they bring BA back and probably they just try to address those positions, which they do. They do have some spots they obviously have to address.
Yes, they do. And so before we get into that, because I do want to get into that. And now it's like a teaser, guys. Now you have to listen to the whole thing. I want to do a quick little, maybe not quick little, but let's talk a little bit about Nick Sorensen as the defensive coordinator. Obviously, Steve Wilks is out. I think many of us are in agreement that it win or lose a Super Bowl, Steve Wilks was not coming back as the defensive coordinator. It wasn't working. As John Lynch said to us at the combine, there was something gnawing at Kyle, like it wasn't quite a fit. So he's out. Nick Sorensen in, they bring him in from within, which I do think ends up being a good move. And I think was the right move. They bring Brandon Staley in as an assistant head coach. People are very surprised by that. I'm actually not surprised by that. And I'll tell you why. And maybe people didn't realize this because it wasn't talked about all that much, but they had an assistant head coach in Anthony Lynn and he left. So obviously that was a position that they felt was important enough to refill. You do have a good defensive mind. He was a disaster as a head coach, but he was a heck of a defensive coordinator. He knows Kyle. So I think you bring in a defensive mind, you bring in someone with a little more experience there when you're promoting someone from within to be a first time defensive coordinator. So to me, the move does make sense. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. So, you know, this book I'm doing where we, you know, the interwoven journeys of Kyle and Sean McVay, among other things, are traced. And one thing that's really interesting is that they each made a pretty big schematic shift on the defensive side within a year of each other. And in each case, it was like, what bothers me? I'm going to deal with that. So in Kyle's case, it was the wide nine, bringing in Chris Kocurek, melding that with Robert Saleh's Seattle 3 system, but getting those big guys outside to kind of disrupt the outside zone and the wide runs, among other things. And it's been a godsend for them. They love Kocurek. And it's, you know, they also got Nick Bosa, you know, it's really worked out beautifully. But that was kind of born from, man, I hate playing against that, you know, when Jim Schwartz had done it and other people. Like, that bugs me when we try to run outside and do those things and those guys are always out there. In McVay's case, he had had Wade Phillips, which was such a good hire. But a year later, he was like, I want the Fangio system. So if you remember that 2018 game against the Bears late in the season on national TV that I attended, I believe it was a Sunday night game.
It was, I think, after Thanksgiving, if memory serves.
Yeah, and the Bears just, you know, handed it to the Rams in the cold. And, by you know, the Rams had looked unstoppable, that offense. And that was Vic Fangio with some great players, but in all his splendor. And Kyle is always, you know, kind of toyed with trying to get with Vic and has admired him. But similarly, it was, this guy's doing things that mess up my offense. And in McVay's case, the jet sweeps and the, you know, the play action that came off of Gurley and Goff throwing those quick patterns, you know, to the outside and then and the crossing routes. And so that worked amazingly for McVay. He hired Staley from that, who was on that Bears staff and then went with Fangio to Denver, was an unknown. 5 years earlier, he'd been a Division III defensive coordinator 5 years before he became head coach of the Chargers. So 4 years earlier. And then he did something epic. And I would compare it to what Jim Harbaugh did, don't get too excited, in San Francisco. He came in.
You just said the magic words, so I know.
So Jim Harbaugh came in a lockout year, and installed a completely new regime and system and culture, but without the players there till August, and took them to within, you know, a whisker of the Super Bowl, and they kept right on rolling. And I always thought that was one of the great achievements I'd seen because of the lockout. Well, Brandon Staley, in a COVID year, installed a completely new system over Zoom with players dispersed everywhere, and they didn't come in until August. And that's that new system now, albeit they had some really good players, but that team, which had been 13th in defense the year before under Wade, was the number one defense of the league. And because of that, he got those head coaching interviews and ended up getting the Charger job. And by the way, there's no truth to the rumor that when the 49ers need an assistant head coach, they just look at the Chargers and go, wait, who's the last head coach you fired?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, wow, they really love a Chargers head coach who's been fired.
Yeah, I mean, watch out if Harbaugh gets fired. You know, he'll be Kyle's assistant head coach. No, so, yeah.
I don't want that for him.
No, Jim's going to win down there like he always does.
He's going to do great.
It's going to be amazing. So, yeah. So with all that said, it is interesting to me that this next evolution potentially for Kyle is to bring in somebody from the Fangio scheme. Now, he does it a little differently, but who can put some touches on it that also are born from the frustrated Sean McVay and at times as frustrated Kyle, that scheme. And it allows you to do some things in the back end. I know this is what we said with Wilkes, but that disguises what you're doing pre-snap and has your players who are maybe shifting right as the ball is snapped in position to go downhill a little bit more than in Wilkes' scheme, be a little more aggressive. And I've talked to Staley. He's like, look, I'm not touching Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. You know, heaven forbid, they're doing what they do. And obviously Greenlaw is going to have to come back from the Achilles. I still can't believe it. I mean, the whole thing, what a crazy season. I said to Greenlaw in January, I'm like, dude, you ruined the Eagles, you know, just laughing like because of the Big Dom thing. Then I had a nice moment with Big Dom and Indy.
I did too, and it was great.
We're all part of the same, you know, community. And and listen, I never blamed Big Dom for that. I'll tell you right now, that's not Big Dom's fault. That was crazy. But what happened is he has a fake tough guy head coach who's always got to be in the middle of things. And Dom's job is to be near Nick Sirianni. Yeah. If that's Doug Peterson or a normal coach, Dom's like off, you know, not in that situation. Big Dom might be the bravest person I've ever seen to touch Dre Greenlaw in uniform in that state.
I mean, right?
But anyway, so look, I just, I think they can keep Warner and Greenlaw doing what they do, keep the wide nine, you know, get someone opposite Bosa, obviously, to complete that. But then the back end can have that Staley Fangio touch. And yeah, I think people who, you know, he's not being put in charge of fourth down decisions, which a lot of people, you know, quarreled with. He didn't lose that many games, actually. You know, as with Anthony, he actually did okay in terms of wins and losses as a head coach. People freaked out in both cases on the game management. But if you're trying to demean Staley as a defensive coordinator, or in this case, as an assistant head coach advising the defensive coordinator, you're not seeing it right. He did something absolutely epic in 2020 in LA.
I could not agree with you more. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think they're both great hires. I am going to segue now. I don't want to brag, but I'm so proud of how I'm going to segue this that I've totally oversold it, but let's see if I can do it. In that conversation, you mentioned Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is still in his 20s. Okay. I just want to throw that out there. I also should double check that, but I'm like 98% sure he's still in his 20s. As old as 30. I'm going to check it after I do the segue, but he's still in his 20s. And
you're going to be like, Todd Gurley's 46. What happened?
What happened? Todd Gurley. I'm going to Google here Todd Gurley age, but first I'm doing the segue. So you mentioned Todd Gurley. He's still in his 20s. And I bring that up because we also talked about some of these core guys, the 49ers, who played a lot of football. Todd Gurley has not played as much football, but his NFL career certainly is, if not over, certainly not where people thought it was going to be several years ago when he first came to the league. So I bring that up to talk about wear and tear. And see, do you like my segue? And so now we're going to talk about these core guys.
I was so sure this was a J.J. McCarthy segue that I just couldn't.
Okay, well, as long as you bring it up.
He's rising, Tracy. He's rising.
The two, I don't want to make a big deal of this because we'll go back to Brian, but the two combine darlings, J.J. McCarthy and Mikey Samrastil. There are others, but the two combine darlings that mean the most to me, and Mikey Samrastil is somebody I think the 49ers should draft, but we can get to that later.
Didn't some guy run the 40 at like 3.32 seconds or something?
Yeah, but they're not going to get him. You know they're not getting Xavier Worthy. Like, they're not going to do it. Though maybe. I mean, he is fast. But I don't know. The fast wide receiver experiment hasn't necessarily worked out for San Francisco. And so I don't know that that's going to be a priority. But I think also, you know, what's even funnier about this is Google has been recording this entire conversation because I haven't gotten to Todd Gurley age, which is funny. But
hi, Google.
Hi, Google. So
I used to work for Yahoo. Don't hate me.
Okay. Well, I won't tell. We won't tell Google. But talking about these core players, and as we go into free agency, there are apparently going to be tough conversations. Apparently, they've already had tough conversations. When I look at free agents' needs, I think, you know, offensive line, someone opposite Bosa, and they got to figure out their third cornerback situation. Because you don't forever, talking about wear and tear, you don't forever want D'Amador Lenore going in and out. He could do it this year. He's excellent. But you don't want that long term, because he's a heck of a corner and he could be a top one in this league. And like, you don't want that for him, which is brings up Mikey Samrastil. But when you look at that core and the wear and tear, and they have played a lot of football, they played a lot of football the last several years and have gotten close, but haven't gotten the Lombardi as we discussed. What do you think these conversations are? Is this really something they're going to deal with next year? Or do we end up with a surprise like a DeForest Buckner situation, where on Monday we have a big surprise, but ultimately they had to make a hard decision that they felt was best for the team. I don't know that the Buckner trade was, but they felt was best for the team.
Right. And there's a lot of regret. There's a lot of regret about that. But right. I think some of the conversations.
Todd Gurley is 29. I was right. He's still in his 20s.
Wow. Look at the Michigan brain on Tracy. I love it.
Yep.
Hey. You know, public universities that are highly ranked and have very dark blue and some shade of yellow involved, they're our passion. What can we say? So I would say this, like, say, you know, since we're talking about Buckner, you know, Eric Armstead, not old by human years, but has played a lot of football, has had foot things the last 2 years, now has meniscus surgeries. It does so many little things that are so good. And he's the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Like, he's, you know, he's amazing. We love him. So if you're ruthless and you're the 49ers, you could go, it might not even be position for position. In, you know, 4 years ago, they said, okay, we got two tackles. We're only going to pay Armstead, not Buckner. We're going to draft one. It turned out to be Kinlaw. You could even say, look, we already paid Hargrave, who's also old, by the way. Yeah. Would you rather have Armstead or Jonathan Grenard from the Texans or Danielle Hunter or Bryce Huff from the Jets, for example, an edge? Because you do need someone opposite Bosa. Yeah. So you could say, we'll pay another edge. We'll keep Bosa. We're already paying Hargrave, and we'll look for like that DJ Jones. Is that his name? Like a guy who's really good inside, not heralded, and you don't have to pay as much, like that type of guy, or draft one, right? So you could make those types of decisions. You could say, I don't want to pay three targets premium money. Or so let's say five skill players. So it's McCaffrey, Juice, Kittle, Debo, and now BA if you pay them. You could go, okay, well, one of those guys, like we need to have a fullback who is just a minimum salary guy. And again, these are hard conversations for me to even have, because
I'm glad we don't have to make the decisions.
Yeah. You love those guys. I love those guys. Absolutely. Fans love those guys. And here's the other problem that is definitely part of these conversations. That locker room without George Kittle in it feels way different to me. That locker, that sideline without Debo in it feels way different to me. You know, Juice is, you know, not physically what he was 5 years ago, but he is making it work. And by the way, last seen making a diving catch on the sideline in overtime, I think, of the Super Bowl. So, like, it's hard to, like, count against any of these guys. So you could certainly make a a case with the cap going up, especially, and Purdy on the rookie deal. Like, look, we'll worry about all this a year from now. We're getting the band back together. We're in the NFC. We're paying BA. We're getting all these guys, and we're going to try to get someone opposite Bosa, another corner, as you alluded to, and probably two linemen, because I don't know what right guard, if you're feeling, you know, like you did going into last season with Burford. So, you know, they've drafted two tight ends. That hasn't really popped. They've drafted corners. That hasn't, you know, gotten ejected. They hit on Jair Brown and with Hufanga, you know, that's exciting. The other thing you got to think about if you're the Niners, and by the way, Azeez Al-Shaair was like on the field celebrating with them in the playoffs. He's a free agent, and Greenlaw might not be ready for the start of the season. Like,
going to be expensive, though.
Yeah, God, maybe.
I love the logic and I love the idea of it when you especially think of the band back together again. But he had a great season, and he's going to be expensive.
He's good.
He's really good, and he doesn't. And in fairness to Azeez, and I get it, he doesn't want to be the guy that's there because Greenlaw's not going to be ready. And so,
because when Greenlaw's ready, like, you're like, Azeez, we love you. Go play special teams.
He's back to MVP. And he doesn't want that. And I just think they have to spend their money elsewhere. So it can't, as much as
if it was like soccer, if it was soccer, they could do a loan. It would be perfect.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
We're going to pay and take him on loan for like the first six games. So here's the other thing you got to think about. New defensive coordinator and possibly some scheme tweaks. But you're looking at Hufanga coming back from an ACL. Mm-hmm. Greenlaw coming back from a torn Achilles. Mm-hmm. Charvarius Ward coming back, it looks like, from core surgery. Mm-hmm. You've got Armstead, if you bring him back, coming back from meniscus surgery, which is pretty significant. So now all of a sudden you're like, we're not even going to necessarily have our guys, you know, hitting the ground running, you know, best case scenario. Mm-hmm. So it's all a lot. I felt like when we were all in that little room, I tried, and I think you tried, like I tried to get John Lynch. I tried to give him every chance to go, we're not doing big ticket stuff. We're just trying to like, and he definitely didn't do that. He was like, you never know, we might. And he was like more a year ago. He was kind of like, we're not doing that. Oh, hey, we're taking Hargrave, it turns out. So I'm excited. I'm not excited if some of those core guys that we love seeing every day aren't around, because football's brutal. We'll see. I am excited that they might shake it up a little bit and maybe, you know, surprise us and wow us.
I also think on the line, yes, they need at least two because of the right side. But the other thing is they do have to start preparing for is the left side. Because when Trent Williams goes down over there, it's a hot mess. And they've done okay and they've figured out. But when he goes down over there, it's a hot mess. And he's certainly played a lot of football. He is in football years. He is old, not in regular years, but in football years. And even if he plays another year at a high level, if he gets hurt, as we've seen, it's a mess. That three-game losing streak without him and Debo was a hot mess, and it was a combo of the two, but maybe even more so Trent Williams. So there's a few things they have to do on that line. It's just the line is so interesting to me, and I think this is what is so tough, is that when you draft offensive linemen, very rarely do they come into the league ready to go. And they may play well, but they very rarely come in at like a super high level. So especially
now that they're playing in college systems where it's like, you know, like they're not really blocking like NFL linemen block.
Yes, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. I think with corner, the thing for me, the reason I think that's more of a draft thing, and not just because I want them to draft Mikey Sanders still, even though I think they'd have to draft him in the first round, because I don't think he's going to be there.
They are drafting Michigan guys at a pretty high rate lately.
They are, and somebody who does predictable picks every week doesn't hate it. Like, basically now I look at the Michigan guys that I think are good and the Michigan guys that I think would be good for predictable picks. That's not where my head goes. But I do think you have someone like that. I think they'd have to take him at 31. I don't know that he makes it out of the second round. I don't know he's there late. He's little, so that. But Mikey Samardzija or no Mikey Samardzija, I wonder if you do that in the draft, because do you really want to pay another high-priced corner, really for the nickel position. It did not work out with Isaiah Oliver. I don't know. This is where it gets difficult, because the big thing, you really need someone on the other side of Bosa. That for me feels like the high price that you need to pay. But then they paid a high price for Hargrave, who was good, who I think was injured more than we realized throughout the season.
And that's another guy coming off surgery.
Yeah. So that's another one. And so I think that, in fairness to him, I think, but you know, he started off a little slow, but who knows how healthy anybody was. And that's the thing with football. You never really know. And he did, he was on and off that injury report kind of frequently, downplayed. So, you know, it's hard to tell, but I don't know, this is where the tough decisions get made. And even with the cap, and as John Lynch said to us in that little room, the cap goes up for them, but the cap goes up for everybody.
Sure.
So that's something to think about too.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to think about. By the way, I don't hate the idea of you going down to Chargers like on Friday and getting Jim Harbaugh on that segment next year. I mean, it's so there for the taking.
And I also don't hate that idea.
I mean, it's funny that you bring it up
because I was kind of thinking about doing it.
I mean, it's really, it's kind of a natural. It's so geographically good. The Niner tie-in is also great. You never know with Jim. You could get him in an absolutely weird mood where it just goes nowhere, but you could also get him in that Judge Judy kind of funny Jim mood. And it is Michigan. And, you know, and what people don't understand is, like, he's an alum. Like, that dude, he's bleeding it. I know he left and all that, but, like, that guy is going to be, you know, screaming with joy if they score a game-winning touchdown against Purdue in, or hopefully against, well, hopefully they blow out UCLA and SC, because the traitors. I want all four of the traitors, the Pac-12 traitors who ruined my conference, I want them all to have a rough indoctrination. Go blue in those games.
Go blue. I'm actually not even opposed. Maybe this is even a better pitch. Chargers PR, if you're listening, I'm not opposed at all to heading down to a Chargers practice during OTAs and getting Jim and having him do it. The predictable pitch is you pick how many points Michigan's going to win by every week. So we could do it in June and I could plug it in every single week. It doesn't actually matter how Michigan is doing during the season. The point is, how many points is Michigan going to win by? So I'm not opposed to heading down there in the off season and just knocking it out.
I mean, the thing is, if you can get Jim to go through their entire schedule and do it, that'll be the greatest interview of Jim Harbaugh by someone who covers the 49ers since at least 2011. Is that when he came? Yeah,
that's true. I can maybe in the first month and then go Fridays. But it's funny that you say that, because I was thinking the same thing, because I was also thinking, if he drafts any Michigan guys, and
are there any Michigan guys on Fridays?
I'm sorry.
Are there any Michigan guys on the Charger roster?
No, not right now.
But at least he brought coaches. He brought coaches.
He's got a few coaches.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. If you want to be, you know, thoughtful, you'll go up to Keenan Allen and you'll go, "Hey, Mike Silver says what's up, go Bears. How many points is Cal gonna pummel Wake Forest by?" You know, what chance does Boston College, I don't even know who we play. I just know that, like, this ACC thing is super, super weird. And watch out, Georgia Tech. We're coming for you. Watch out, Wake Forest.
That's amazing. I like this idea, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because I've been thinking about it myself. Don't think that I also didn't think maybe, I don't know if this would happen. This is a total, like, pipe dream. But if the 49ers did joint practices and training camp with whoever drafts JJ McCarthy, I'm going to see if I can get him real quick to do the predictable, just go through the season.
I mean, you might have to get on a plane. And, you know, if JJ McCarthy, I mean, he could be a Raider. That would be easy.
I want better for JJ.
You know, it didn't go so well for the most beautiful man.
It did not.
Ever to play in the NFL, who I adore. And I hope it goes better for the next guy. That killed me, man. I just wanted good things for Jimmy, but he'll land on his feet. He always does.
And my mom thinks he should hang it up and be a model. She says, and I quote, "What does he need this aggravation for?" That's what she
said. I got to tell you, like, to be that elite in two things, throwing the football and being beautiful, is it's almost hard to think about.
It is. I think it's part of why people are so anti-Jimmy Garoppolo. There's a lot of jealousy out there from people.
I think if you know him, you like him. I mean, 100%. Maybe if you're trying to get a return text and you're his boss, it drives you insane. But right. Like those of us, I mean, he just makes people feel really good. And I don't know, man. I think, yeah, it's, you know, if you're a 49er fan, just be so happy you have Brock Purdy. That's going to be a gift for a long, long time. He's a stone cold assassin inside, and he'll keep working and he'll get better.
100%. All right, Mike, before you go, I'm going to put you on the spot. But if you don't want to, I'm very nice. So like, if you really don't want to be on the spot, you don't have to be. But I was going to put you on the spot. What is one hot take that you see happening next week from San Francisco? This could be like a scorching hot take that like probably won't happen. But if it did happen, you're going to look like a genius. One hot take next week. Does someone big get traded, cut, signed? What do you think?
Yeah, I think something's coming. Maybe all of it. But I think they're going to go get an edge. I think this, like, hey, Nick Bosa, and we'll throw someone else over there, Cleve Farrell. You know, I think that's over. I think in the wide nine, especially, you want two dudes. When they had Dee Ford and Bosa 4 years ago, it was insane. Yep. So they invested on the inside last year. We'll see what they do with Armstead. But in my opinion, you figure out a way, and I don't think drafting at 31, you could trade up and try to get an edge. I think there's some guys out there that are intriguing to me. It might not blow us away. It might not be like, oh my God, they went and got, you know, Max Crosby, right? It's not going to be that, but they're going to figure out a way to line up next year with two dudes on the outside.
And I'm just going to say again, they can't draft an edge of 31 because they'll be drafting Mikey Sanders still. I think if I just keep saying it, I can manifest it. It worked with Jake Moody.
So what's your vision on if they draft him? Is he the other outside guy and you just put Deebo? He's the inside guy. And then you just let Deebo be Deebo on the outside, which is great.
I think that's what you do. So that's my feeling. That's why I don't know that they sign a high price corner, because what they need is the inside guy. Not that Deebo isn't great at it, but he's so good on the outside that I think you want to keep him on the outside. So that's how I think he's the inside guy. I don't have the stats on this, but he for sure led the country in making a play when necessary. I was told at the combine that the problem with my Michigan scouting report is that you have to compare how these players are to other players at their position in the country. And my response to that was like, yeah, I can't help you there.
This has long been my problem, because they'll say, what do you think of this guy coming out? And I'm like, I just watched Cal, which some years is not even like major college football. So I'm like, I don't really know. Like, if it's obvious, like Ricky Williams, I was like, yeah, he'll be a good pro. He's big, fast, strong, and nobody can tackle him ever. Like, he'll be good. But usually it has to kind of hit me over the head. Jared Goff, I remember getting in an argument in his first game as a true freshman in the stadium with my friends. We're like, oh, this new system is great. I'm like, this isn't the system. This guy's going to be like a very high first round pick. And they're like, yeah, like sometimes I'm right. But I listen, this is one thing. I don't know if it's too soon, but if you see a guy on tape who looks unbelievably fast against, I don't know, Montana State and UC Davis, he might not be as fast running from the quarterback position in the NFL. So
that's fair. But Mike Gundersill won a national championship and intercepted Michael Penix Jr. to seal the deal for the University of Michigan.
Who sealed the Ohio State game? Who was that?
Oh, that was Rod Moore.
That was another cool interception. I know you probably, I don't think you, yeah, I know you were there. I don't think you celebrated that a lot when that happened much.
No, not at all. I don't want anyone to think I started crying and turned to my father and said, Daddy, they won. They won. I don't want anyone to think that happened as tears were rolling down my face. I don't want anybody to think that, because that's definitely not how it went down.
I mean, listen, if anyone has seen me, the last four big games where fans have attended, because the ones fans didn't attend, my cutout was there, unfortunately, because right. because a blocked extra point too soon cost Cal that one. But for the last four I've attended, it's embarrassing how I behave. Because I'm just so happy. Because yeah. the only thing better than beating Stanford is not losing to Stanford.
That's
and
fair.
That just feels so good.
That's fair. And I will say the national championship will be, I don't think anything in sports will ever top that for me. It will never be better than that. Even if yeah. even the Dodgers winning another World Series, like, it'll just, nothing will top it for me.
I mean, I was at the play as a high school senior, so mm-hmm. That's what it takes. It's something so weird and surreal that to get it on the Pantheon. But yeah, I mean, I grew up a 49er fan. The catch and the aftermath, mm-hmm. like, there's never anything like your first, you know, thing. It's just unbelievable.
It was amazing. All right, Mike, before I let you go, let everybody know where they can find you. I had real trouble with words there.
Okay, so I am a columnist at the San Francisco Chronicle. There is a paywall, but it's totally worth it. There's a great deal. So you can find me there. You may find me some other places soon. We're figuring all that out. But most important, it's a little early, but come October, my mm-hmm. book on the Shanahan McVay coaching crew, a lot of Kyle Shanahan, a lot of Mike Shanahan, a lot of Mike McDaniel, Raheem Morris, Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, D'Amico Ryan, so many things that 49er fans especially will need to read. So get ready for my book that comes out in October. Very excited about that.
Fantastic, you guys. If you like what you heard, and I know you did, please give us a 5-star rating and leave us a super positive review. You can find me on Twitter X at Tracy Sand. That's not true. On Twitter X at Tracy FGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by FIVO. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And with that, I'll talk to everybody after free agency and we'll see if the edge rusher comes true. Bye, y'all.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself.
What would kids do?
Dance to a giant organ played by ocean waves? Yep. Camp in floating tree houses hundreds of feet off the ground? Check. Jump in a big tub of mud on purpose? Call it rejuvenation. We don't care. Just pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. If you need help, ask your kids. Start planning at visitcalifornia.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.